The 3HL, coming up this afternoon from 3 to 6 p.m. Now it's time for Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone.
Let's do this, Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. It is hump day. Happy hump day Wednesday to everybody. A little bit after 1 o'clock, we are back to the two-hour sprint of the show. So welcome aboard Buck Rising, his first show today. He will be on from 10 to 1. We were just kind of filling space for a while, and we were happy to do it. We enjoy getting to talk to you for extra hour every day, so we got to cram 3 hours back into two. So I don't know if we'll talk faster, Blaine. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we were left to figure that out.
Well, yeah. I appreciate everybody listening, helping us being number one once again. So, yes, everybody's tuning in, and whatever time we're at. So, appreciate everybody listening, and congratulations to our man, Buck Rising. I think we all love Buck, whether you work here at the station or anywhere else, even if it's just asking him if Malcolm Butler can come off IR. So, yeah, congrats, Buck.
Speaking of Malcolm Butler, we all keep wondering what might happen to his contract, and Buck Rising had John Robinson on it, his second guest on the show. Ever. You'll have to remember it was a trivia question. Jason Fitz was first, John Robinson was second, and Will Compton was third. But he asked him, are you working to restructure anybody right now? Because I think we look at some of those numbers and think that might be a possibility. And John Robinson said, the Titans are currently trying to, and this is a quote, get a couple of our guys back, is what John Robinson said. He said they have not talked restructure yet with any players. He said it's not out of the question. Blaine, he also said nothing has changed at this point with Isaiah Wilson. That doesn't surprise me. A couple of observations. If I was Isaiah Wilson, his response after all that stuff was essentially to go on Twitter and say he was done as a Titan and then to later delete that tweet. I think if somebody had said those things about me and I wanted to be a part of an organization, you know, maybe I'd try to change some of this, but it doesn't sound like anything has changed. So the Titans and Isaiah Wilson probably just continuing to head towards an imminent parting of ways, I would think, especially if the Titans could figure out something contractually. And as far as the getting our guys back and, you know, not talking to anybody about a restructure yet, starting to run low on time on that. The 2-week period to tag somebody ends March the 9th. Today is March the 3rd. And then you got the 15th through 17th of March. And this is so funny. We talked the legal tampering period. What are we doing here? We're all adults. We know that it was happening before. Albert Haynesworth signed a mega deal in his driveway at 12:01. You mean they negotiated that in a minute? We all knew what was going on. Just let guys negotiate, get what they're going to get. Why do we have to have this charade of 3 days of negotiating? But anyway, whatever's going to happen will soon have to get to happening. There was a tweet earlier from Diana Russini, basically Blaine, and she said she was told earlier today by an NFL coach that next week will be a massacre all around the league of players getting released. So apparently a lot of stuff's getting ready to happen, and it's already happened.
Yeah. You know, I'm always interested in you. When we had Andrew Brent on yesterday, he said that teams have known for a while now who they're going to cut.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I'm like, well, why don't they go ahead and cut it?
That's a good question.
It's funny how you pick and choose the guys you let go first. And like their solos, like Adam Humphries. Well, if you're going to cut him, why did you cut if you're going to cut Vaccaro or Malcolm Butler? Why did you? Because they're getting a fair jump on the market.
Right.
So it's almost like you're handpicking and showing a little bit of favoritism to them. If not, don't cut anybody and cut them all at the same time. So, that was kind of interesting to hear him say that. Which everybody's saying Malcolm Butler is going to get cut, but me, and that means I'm wrong because I just like him as a player. I get it. The numbers are high, and I think I could at least get one more year out of him, even if I kick the can down the road a little bit to soften the blow. Because I'm not convinced that Adoree Jackson ever played to the level of the first round pick and being a dynamite player, an explosive player that impacts the game. He's not a punt returner. He played offense and defense in college, and he was fantastic.
Yes, he was.
He hasn't done any of that. He's just gradually gotten a little bit better each and every year. I would say he's a for sure number two. I don't know what they talk about number one. I haven't seen that yet, really, unless he's going against a finesse fast player, because that's what he is. And right. then he didn't play last year, and he's you know, he's a little fragile. I mean, he got out there. I don't know the extent of his injury. Look, it's a knee injury. Granted, yes, his deal is running, and he can run fast. But, man, he didn't give them nothing last year, and they still did well. And he did nothing, and we had no pass rush. So when you start looking at the team, you go, well, shoot, man, we won 11. We might have won 12 or 13 if we got a pass rush and Adoree stayed healthy.
Yeah.
Here's what I am going to say. I like Malcolm Butler so much, I would probably try to trade Adoree Jackson. That's where I'm at. And even if Malcolm may only be on the team one more year.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pay Adoree Jackson $15 million. I just don't see it. He's not that kind of player, at least not yet. Maybe he was going to turn the corner to be that guy because he definitely improved each and every year. So, you know, and I think he's a great commodity to sell, especially with the 22nd pick. What did they tell us? JC, or, you know, some big-time corner be there. I'm like, So I keep a young guy, but a young, better guy with length, 6'1", long arms, runs a 4.4. I think that's already better than Adoree. Now, is that better than Malcolm Butler? Probably so, too, eventually. But initially, no. Mm-mm, it's not. So I think there's a lot of things to consider here. As far as Isaiah Wilson, if I'm a GM, these are all if I'm a GM. That's why I'm not a GM. I would try to keep him on the team. I'm going to give him one more shot. I'm going to give him as much as it's going to pain me is because, first of all, I took him in the first round. I wouldn't have done that, but they did. Right. And I want to show that this guy can play because I know he can play. I just got to get him on the right road. Got to get him on the right track. I got to get him down that right track. Something's going on. Hey, we got to get it right. And not talking to him, to me, I don't know how much that helps or hurt the situation and tells you what they're thinking. I don't know if that tells you that they're going to cut him or if they draft another offensive tackle in the first round, Mickey's going to tear up his curve.
I'll be down the TV. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he'll be down on the couch. So I mean, they got to approach him a little bit differently. And I'm real big on everybody speaks different languages. You must be able to find a way to get to this player, whatever it is. I'm going to do everything I can. And that way, if I wash my hands of him, I say I gave him every freaking opportunity. And people could say, oh, well, we did last year. I know. They did. Yeah. But I'm going to give him one last straw. No COVID. We're going to got OTAs. I can track him. We can get him in a weight room. We can get him in shape. And you talking about I'm going to make it as miserable as possible. And I'm going to see if he got something. And then if not, then, nah, we got to go then. But I got to be able to train him more than just get him in a training camp. And then he just, you know, acting like a panda, like he want to go, you know, curl up in a cave. Other than that. So that's how I feel about that. And then, you know, John Robinson is going to say the customary things as far as, yeah, he's trying to sign those guys. I don't think they want to use the franchise tag. I was a franchise tag player and I hated it. I felt like I was a prisoner. Yeah, that's how you feel because you know it's 1 year. And in this year, it's good for a player maybe because the salary cap goes up next year. But it's not good for teams to have that big salary on the books because it's not helping them go sign other players. So if you sign a long-term deal, it helps the cap a little bit more. So I don't know who they're going to sign or not sign. I have no idea. But, man, I wish everybody was coming back. One thing he's missing is Arthur Smith. And, you know, they promote a guy within that school, and he's going to the offense still running Tannehill and play. Well, the same players are not. Jonnu Smith and Corey Davis are free agents.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then what you going to do with Jayon Brown? You can always draft a linebacker that can run maybe second round. I don't know. If you feel like you're just going to replace him and put him right next to Evans.
How much do you like the coverage piece, though, for Jayon? How difficult is that to replace? Because he's been a really good coverage guy. I mean, that's kind of what he was drafted to do. And then he turned out to be, I think, a lot better than certainly than most of us thought he would be, became a very well-rounded linebacker.
Yeah.
You know, the coverage piece for him has always been a really nice thing, in my opinion. He's a,
I honestly thought he was going to be, Mickey, just a third down cover linebacker, because he played safety in college. Then they moved him.
Yeah.
Then, you know, he blew up. I mean, because he was running around. He was running around everybody. You know, he's that fast. He's that quick. Yeah, he did really well. And the market, I think, says he's about 10 million. You know, those guys are really successful. I just don't know if they want to put that kind of money into that position. It depends on what happens with everybody else. And where's the pecking order to them? I like J.M. Brown a lot. But I just think Long is just a smidgen under him. So do you want to elevate him or continue to leave him there and then put somebody else in the spot that you draft? I mean, you can get fast linebackers that's just like J.M. Brown. I mean, to be honest. Now, is he is going to be as good initially? No. He has to go through the developmental process, of course. So Jayon was fifth round. So what if you go get a guy in the third or fourth round? Say, this guy can fly, and we can teach him how to cover. And that's all about development. So it depends on – you can like all the guys that are free agents, from Brown to, you know, Corey Davis. I mean, I like all those guys. I think they're
great. Daquan. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Daquan Jones, and people keep forgetting about him, right?
Yeah, they do.
All those players are good fits for the organization. Well, somebody's going to get left out. They're not signing everybody.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're really going to tag anybody with their cap situation. So we shall see. We'll see if John Robinson was telling us the truth, where I'm only talking to the guys that could be free agents. Yeah, that sounds too simple. Come on, JR. We're smarter than that now. You got 24/7. What are you doing? Oh, you're doing a draft, right? So he's doing a lot of work on the draft, but got to get those free agents first, and free agents that's on the market from other teams that you may sign. You know,
and a lot of people talk about signing, a bunch of them.
You know, Robinson, the Bears receiver.
Right. All right?
So and then you got to give him number one money. So he's about 14, 15, right? He's up there.
Right.
See, I don't like that match. I like him as a player. Don't like that match with A.J. Brown, because I got to have one alpha dog. The other guy can be good, but I don't want to be alpha dog. Because if Robinson doesn't get the ball, he's going to start complaining.
Sure.
Because he's going to be like, well, no, I threw it over to A.J. Brown. He did a good job. I don't care, man. They just paid me $15 million, and they'll be talking about my production is not very good. Well, I can't do anything if I don't get any targets.
Yeah.
Yeah. A la from Kevin, Music City Miracle Dyson. People complain about a receiver. Well, if he's not getting targets, well, what can he do?
Nothing.
So, I like that second tier number two guy, and maybe 1B guy. That's what Corey Davis is.
Sure is.
So how much do you want to pay that guy?
And he blocks. He does all the things that they
stop
like
with all that blocking.
I know, but that's what they always say about him. He does the things that they like, though. He's a good team guy. He does all the things that they like.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, because everybody keeps talking about speed guy, and he's right. Yeah, you want the guy that can run routes. Those guys are playing this league long. You don't have to be the fastest guy. You got to know how to run routes. You think Derek Mason was the fastest guy? You think Drew Bennett was the fastest guy? No, these guys knew how to manipulate and run routes.
Yeah.
And they were smart football players. So that's the guys you want. Do you want them fast? Yeah. Yeah. But they don't, they can't be, 4-7. So, you're 4-5, you're real athletic, getting out of your breaks, and you're doing pretty good. So they got a lot of stuff to figure out right now. And, well, I wouldn't want to be John Robinson right now in the whole department.
Ooh, I wouldn't either. The fact that they were going after J.J. Watt, and that they were even rumored at, let's say, $12 million a year, whatever, that tells you, though, they're going to make some moves. They're going to have some money. They were going to have it for him. They're going to have it for somebody. They're going to spend some money on somebody or somebody's.
Oh, well, and maybe it's somebody had it up. That's how I always feel, Mike. You know how I feel. They'll find a way to get him.
They'll find a way to get him. Yep.
Whether you got to cut somebody, restructure, they want you bad enough, they get you.
Yeah, they got to, a few more days to start figuring that stuff out. Again, March 15 through 17 is when the legal negotiating window, they're not calling it legal tampering anymore. Just don't call it anything. But March the 15th is when that happens. The franchise or transition tag period ends March the 9th at 3 p.m. So we'll be able to count that down literally on the show coming up. It is Blaine and Mickey will be on the air today until 3 o'clock. Teresa Walker is set to join us next. She'll talk Preds. in NFL with us, Dane Bradshaw. That's right, BFL Dane Bradshaw in the second hour of the program to talk Vols and SEC hoops. What's going on with the Vols? This guy should know. It's all coming up. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5. Blaine and Mickey on 104.5, The Zone. Again, back to our original time period for today, the one that we started, 1 to 3 p.m. Appreciate you hanging out with us today and every day, no matter what time we're on. We're always happy to hang out with you. We do have a Twitter account. If you haven't followed it, you can follow us there at Blaine and Mickey. By the way, people are going gaga over our logo. I posted a little post on Facebook, my personal Facebook, to remind people, hey, we're going back to 12 or 1 to 3 tomorrow, but you can check out the new show before then. And several people had never seen the logo, and they just went nuts over it. So we do have a fun logo. Appreciate our guy Rich here at the station putting that together. We asked a question yesterday, Blaine, and we got some good responses to this on our Twitter account. Should teams unretire numbers for players who join their organization? And I put, like J.J. Watt in Arizona, are there times where exceptions should be made, or should numbers stay retired? We asked this because J.J. Watt is going to wear number 99. Peyton Manning
did that at Denver, correct, too, right?
He did. And the original quarterback for the Broncos was a guy named Frank Trepuka, and he wore number 18. And he gave Peyton his blessing when Peyton got there and said, you can have this number. This can be your number. J.J. Watt.
When somebody says that, though, because what is the player supposed to say? Like, oh, no, you can't wear my number. That's my number, man. It can't was retired. You can pick another number, though, Peyton. You can go wear 19. You know, Unitas was pretty good. You know, he just wasn't in his jersey, you know. So, I mean, when you ask a player whose number's retired, I mean, I'm sure they look at it as an honor. But what else can they really say? Have you ever heard of, a retired jersey probably saying somebody saying no?
I have not. And the family,
right.
And the family of the gentleman who wore 99, he's been passed away now for a while. They said it was fine if J.J. Watt wore number 99. We can get to some of these poll results later. But the overwhelming response from Blaine and Mickey listeners was no, you shouldn't. It's retired for a reason. Don't unretire it. So people had real strong feelings about this.
Yeah, we got to ask Teresa Walker about it.
Yeah, she joins us now as unmuted, locked and loaded, the Hall of Famer, Associated Press reporter Teresa Walker. So J.J. Watt is going to wear number 99. The gentleman whose family who wore it, and I've got it written down in my notes, the guy who wore number 99, he's a college football Hall of Famer, not a pro football Hall of Famer. He was close, but he didn't quite get there. But anyway, four times all pro. His family told J.J. Watt, that's fine. We'd be honored if you wore his number 99. It's retired now. A lot of people don't think that should be the case. What say you, Teresa Walker? Once a number is retired, should it be unretired?
Well, I think they did it the right way. I mean, the family signed off on it. Although, let's be honest, you know, the Cardinals come to you and say, hey, J.J. Watt wants to wear, you know, your loved one's number. What do you say?
Marshall Goldberg is his name. Yes,
exactly. Put it this way. Say if in 15 years the Titans get somebody, a great quarterback, and signs with them, and he wants number 9. Okay, that's retired. 27 for a great running back. That's where the challenge comes in, guys, because, you know, in this case, this person played long enough ago that, and let's face it, I've watched and covered, I've watched the NFL since the mid-70s. I've covered it since 1997. I didn't know that name. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but I think it all depends on the number you're trying to unretire. And, you know, so if you're wanting that hard and fast rule, guys, I think it's going to be, it's like a guy walks into the locker room and there's a number that's available, but it's another guy's. Everything's negotiable, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think you're right on to a point. It made me think about it deeply. You saying, you know, you didn't really cover the previous gentleman there at Arizona, he's passed away. I think it is about, you know, the frequency. Like if Derrick Henry would have come to the Titans and got drafted and asked Eddie George for his number, and that was his number in college, that was his number in high school, I think that's a little different. I might have said, nah, as an organization, and not even to put him in that situation, right, that he's still relevant and he's still alive and he's still going to be around here. I think we're going to have to move you to another number. So I think a lot has to do with that. I think T, that's why she's the Hall of Fame writer there. Hit it right on the head.
And that's the thing. I mean, you know, if somebody goes to the Yankees and they ask for number three, they're going to look at him and say, no, no.
Right.
And that,
people like, who is that?
Exactly. Some numbers will always stay retired, but the numbers for guys who maybe, you know, maybe they played defensive line, you know, somebody in 20 years might want, you know, a number that was held by Robert Brazil. You know, it's like it's all a matter of time and place and player.
J.J. Watt found his time and his place and his dollar figures. We're talking about him. We may as well lead with that, Teresa. He goes to Arizona. No one's talking about Arizona. Then you see the financials and you think, oh, I get it now. Arizona makes a lot of sense financially because that's probably more money than he could have gotten anywhere else.
Well, I'll just say this. I mean, everybody wanted the Titans to try to get him because we see the gaping need that they have at pass rusher. But after seeing how much money they spent last season, just go down the drain. Right. I've got, if I'm a Titans fan, you would have liked to have had him, but no, it's okay not to. Okay. And here's the challenge though. You know, John Robinson made it very clear last month when he talked to us that yes, he understands pass rusher is up there. They can talk about affecting the quarterback and doing all those things, but they need somebody who can help Jeffrey Simmons, who can help Harold Landry, who can just flat out get to the quarterback. We saw it in the NFC Championship game. We saw it with Jason Pierre-Paul and Shaq Barrett. We saw it in the Super Bowl. I mean, you have to be able to, when it's third and nine, you have to have a guy who can get there and put the quarterback on the ground. It's the easiest way to keep him from completing a pass. I mean, they haven't come up with anything better yet. So, you know, so at this point, you know, let's face it, with all the guys that are going to start being cut here in the next week or so, if I'm John Robinson, you know, his A plan, you know, if A plan was J.J. Watt, you know, he should probably have a plan through Z of the alphabet to make sure that they're ready for what's going to be a unique offseason unlike any other. There's going to be some pass rush guys hit this market, and they're going to have to be ready to jump and with a deal and try to, they've got to be smart shoppers here. So there's going to be some chances for bargains and it's okay. Maybe he gets two or three guys instead of maybe that one.
And Therese Walker's on with, before I give you the blame though, you just said something. I'd written this down. Diana Russini tweeted earlier. She talked to an NFL coach this week. He said there will be a massacre all around the league talking about players getting released with contracts that they just can't handle financially. There's going to be all kinds of people available.
Oh, exactly. And that's the thing. You know, we heard the talk about the salary cap. And when you look at, you know, Spot Rack, you can see that there's, I think the Titans are like 19th in most cap space available, and they've got 5 million. And, you know, and they've got a bunch of guys who are hitting the free agency market, which even if you don't bring, you know, get an extension with a Corey Davis or find a way to keep a Jonnu Smith, you got to replace them, which means you've got to clear some cap space. And there's only so much you can do by reworking contracts. So, you know, yeah, get ready. I mean, we're so used to the tampering period being the start of free agency. And then it was, you know, and then there's, oh yeah, the new league year. Well, get ready. It's a whole, you know, the pandemic is bringing us yet another phase of free agency, and that's the, you know, call it a, you know, bloodbath if you want, because there's going to be a busy transaction wire over the next couple of weeks.
Joined by Teresa Walker at Teresa M. Walker on Twitter, covering all things sports and really all things. She tweets all kinds of news and other items from the Associated Press.
Well, T, you're a lot smarter than us, so I'm going to make you the GM of the Tennessee Titans.
Let's go.
Ready? We go. What would be your priority as far as the guys that are free agents? And I think that's Daquan, Yan Brown, Corey Davis, and Jonnu Smith. How would you prioritize who is more important than others, and what's the reasons?
Mm-hmm. For me, guys, I'm probably going with Corey Davis. Hindsight being 2020, the Titans would have picked up his fifth-year option, and that wouldn't even be an issue this year. But they didn't. They went with Adoree. With what Corey Davis has meant, both blocking and catching. I mean, guys, he was within spitting distance of a 1,000-yard season this last year. We saw what he can do catching the ball in this offense. And with more time with Ryan Tannehill, got to think that's only going to get better. And as long as you've got a Derrick Henry on your roster, you need a wide receiver who can help catch the ball. And I know that, you know, in that playoff game, guys, you know, that offense struggled when Corey Davis wasn't able to be on the field because of a, you know, unspecified injury there late in that game. So if you've got him, that helps make AJ Brown, who's also really, really, really good, even better. And that seems to be a piece that helps click in that offense. Now, would I love to have Jonnu Smith? Yes. But we already saw yesterday, Kyle Rudolph's on that market. So, you know, how many other tight ends, you know, does that maybe help bring some prices down for other guys? But I start with Corey Davis on my shopping list.
All right. And then talking about shopping, now you get to shop, but you don't know what's actually available at 22 when you're picking at 22 in the draft. What position? I'm going to not tell you to ask what player. What position group do you think they'll draft at 22?
Edge rusher. I mean, you know, if you see a mock draft and it has the Titans taking an offensive lineman, a tight end, even a wide receiver, pass on by and go to something else. I mean, they need pass rusher. I mean, it's what we were talking about. It's why we were so interested. Could they get J.J. Watt? They have to get better. 19 sacks is just not going to cut it in the NFL. So they've got to get some guys to help get to the quarterback.
Well, what if they sign like two guys? What if they sign Van Noy and another guy for $7 million, whoever it is? And then, you know, I'm just naming names. And then obviously they say, well, you know what? We're going to take the best value player at 22. Do you think anything's possible like that could happen?
Absolutely, because here's the thing. We just saw last year that they signed veterans and couldn't, you know, Jadeveon Clowney ends up on IR after 8 games. Nick Beasley, they have to cut him because they're getting nothing out of him. So while you think that you bought something nice on free agency, it's okay to buy something to stick in the freezer, like a new young fresh pass rusher who can be ready to come in, you know, if you've got to throw out the old guy stuff.
Okay. And by the way, before I throw it back to Mickey, it's been a year now that you had the horrific events here in Nashville. What do you recall during that time of all the craziness and tornadoes and everything else hitting Nashville?
Blaine, I was up for hours that night watching some of the coverage because I had just left downtown Nashville covering a Preds game on that Monday night, get home, and then you could watch, thanks to TV, you could watch the storm, you know, go across Nashville. And the next day I was going over to Cookeville to help talk to people as they were picking through the debris of their homes and helped our news side there for a couple of days. So yeah, And then we get hammered by the pandemic coming down the slot just a week or so later. So it's like it's been a heck of a year for Nashville and the state of Tennessee. But hopefully the light we're starting to see is not a train. It's the end of this tunnel.
Well, do you think that train should be the same type of thing that should be going on with the Predators? Is it time now to move on and move forward and kind of start fire selling at a good rate, but for the right price?
I think the for sale sign went on last night because let's face it, it's just before the game, you lose Ryan Ellis for up to 6 weeks. You lose Luke Kunin for up to 2 to 4 weeks. Ryan Johansson, who just got back, just 4 games back, and he's on the COVID list. So, and you've been trying to stay off, you know, and they've won 4 of 5 and they're still not past 23 in the rankings for the league standing. So, David Poile may not want to do it, but now you've got Soros hurt. We'll find, John Hines is talking as we speak about what he's dealing with. But, you know, let's face it, you know, the everything is telling David Poile the time is now. Start selling. Rebuild is underway.
We're on with Hall of Fame writer Teresa Walker, who covers everything in Tennessee.
Very true, including the Grizz fans. She's got you covered there too. The crazy thing about this Preds roster is this: they still have a bunch of guys who've scored at times in their past, and they just can't score. I think I saw John Glennon tweet something last night that, you know, Matt Duchene might lead the league in deep sighs and staring at the ceiling after missed opportunities. Or if something along those lines, like only John Glennon could say, you know, he's like you, he's a wordsmith. But basically saying, how many times is one just going to slip off of his stick, or is he going to hit the post, or or just push one right or just push it left. Granlund, they have Arvidsson. There's a bunch of dudes on this team who should technically be able to put the puck in the net, and they just haven't done it with any regularity.
Mickey, that's the thing. I don't know if it's they're squeezing the stick so hard that they're trying too much and just missing. But let's be honest. At a certain point, it is what it is. Maybe they've produced all that they can. You know, Matt Duchene, for so many years, it's like Nashville just wants to be in Nashville. Nashville wants him. And now he's here, and this is what we've got. And that's what makes it tough. You know, Duchene's got a big contract. Arvidsson got a big contract because you saw things that made you think that they could produce for you like that, but they're not producing. You look at that roster, it's Philip Forsberg, it's Roman Josi. The youth movement is time. And, you know, I just say this, could the Seattle Kraken maybe please take two guys from the Predators this year? And please, you know, clear some of this contract. But, you know, that's the challenge. And, you know, that's why, guys, as we head into NFL free agency, nothing is guaranteed when you hand out those next deals. You know, you're giving somebody a contract thinking that they'll continue building. And, you know, we've seen Arvidsson deal with injuries, you know, Duchene, that just hasn't really clicked since he got here. So, you know, Johansson has been on a downward slide since he got his deal. So, if any of us, particularly David Poile, had the answer for why, this would be fixed in a heartbeat.
It's funny because when the Vegas Golden Knights had the expansion draft, I remember poor Adam Bingen just getting people nonstop questions to the point that it became like Buck Rising and the IR thing with Malcolm Butler on Twitter about the expansion draft. The Preds fans were so terrified to lose just any number of guys. And at this point, like you said, it's like, hey, Seattle, you want to take a couple? It's amazing how fast things change.
Well, it does. And that's the thing. The simple thing is this. You can look at their scoring, their power play percentages, their penalty kills, where they stand in the standings. And, you know, with the games that other teams have in hand on the Predators, it just mathematically, this team is closer to figuring out where they pick in the draft than, you know, even thinking of competing for a playoff spot. And that's where it kind of makes it very clear, because I was in that news conference when David Poile announced that they were going to continue Barry Trotz's coach. And he kind of said that, you know, he understood that when you make the change with coach, that, you know, after that, then he knew from that point on, the pressure was going to be on him as GM to get things in place. Well, he brought in Laviolette. They go to the final. They win the President's Cup. But since then, it's been a steady, you know, trickle the other direction. So, this is a point where they have to make some changes.
I'm with Teresa Walker from the Associated Press here on Blaine and Mickey talking little Titans, little Preds. Hey, on the way out, I see Blaine. He's waving goodbye. I do have one more Titans question for you. What in the world? What in the world are they going to do with Isaiah Wilson? What should they do?
Well, what can they do? Cut it. If they could get, you know, if there is a wizard or somebody out there that could help them change him for some magic beans. I mean, let's face it, guys, you know, the relationship is not in great shape. All signs are pointing. My magic eight ball says they cut him. And you know, no one's going to trade for him at this point. I mean, you know, if it had, you'd think it would happen by now. So post June 1 designated cut seems to be the likeliest move for his future.
What do they feed pandas before you go? Do you know?
Pandas. I thought that they ate bamboo, but
Okay. So that's what we need to get him, some bamboo. He'll be fine. Bamboo it is for the panda.
Or something.
Teresa, thank you. Anyway, as I said earlier, a great Twitter follow at Teresa M. Walker with the Associated Press, the Hall of Famer, and a whole bunch of other accolades. And people can always follow you, and they'll know why, because you're a great writer and a great person covering sports in this community. Also, one heck of a bathroom remodeler. Great to have you.
Wow. And an HOF. Hey,
thank you, guys. My ego has been sufficiently watered. I appreciate it.
There you go. We're always here for you, T. When we come back, I got a quarterback stat for Blaine. I saw this on The Athletic. For all those teams who are going to invest in these first-round quarterbacks, I got a stat for you. Coming up, Blaine and Mickey, 104.5. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Blaine just saw this in the break, right as we were coming back on. Adam Schefter tweeted, former Titans tight end Delanie Walker, who took last season off due to COVID, and to get 100% healthy, intends to play again in 2021. Per source, Delanie Walker is one of the all-time great free agent acquisitions that the Tennessee Titans ever had. Blaine, that dude was a one-man gang on offense on some really bad teams. And as he said after one of the games, they know I'm getting it. They still can't stop me.
He was a bad man now. Right?
No doubt.
And he played with that confidence and air of confidence about him that he was going to be unstoppable. And you knew it. He knew it. And what were you going to do about it? And he meant absolutely nothing.
Well,
that
I wish
you a feeling to have when you're a pro athlete, man. I'm telling you.
When you have that feeling, and he said that, like Delanie said that after a game one day, you know, that somebody asked him, hey, man, the team's not very good and offense has been struggling, but you're still killing it. And he said, they know I'm getting it and they still can't stop me. I just thought, holy cow, I wouldn't have the confidence to say that about anything. Like how many trips to the kitchen I make at night to get snacks. Like, you know, my wife knows I'm coming for snacks and she still can't stop me. I wouldn't say that about any situation. And he said that about NFL defenses. Like, hey, man, it's just a fact. I'm going to get mine. I thought that was an amazing statement by Delanie. So I certainly wish him well. And hope to see him just go out there and play as long as he wants to play.
Well, think about this. The Titans may need a tight end in a reduced role. Would you bring back Delanie Walker? It should be a question. At the veteran minimum with incentives. Who knows him best? And who uses tight ends? I didn't say he was the number one.
Right.
As long as he understands that when he gets here, this is not the Delanie Walker of prime, but we do use our tight ends. And if you catch 30 balls a season, you did pretty good. We'll give you some incentive package. Why not? He deserves that. I would kick that around a little bit. You know, maybe not absolutely now, but down the road, we're still sitting here, and after the draft, I got the big board of guys that are still available in free agency after the free agency and the draft.
Right.
He's still there, and I still need a tight end. In a different role, but yeah, I would consider it if I'm the GM of the Titans.
This is an interesting thing because we're having all these discussions now, and as the draft gets closer, we're going to hear all these discussions about teams trying to take a first-round quarterback and who's going to take whom. I get an email from The Athletic a couple times a day, and it'll have stories that you should check out. And there was a story, and it said, the recent trades of Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, and Matthew Stafford mean all of the 22 first-round quarterbacks drafted from 2009 to 2016 have moved on from their original teams. Every one of them is now on a different team with the result of these recent trades. The Titans actually had two of those guys. They had Jake Locker, who's been retired since after the fourth year of his contract. Marcus Mariota lasted 5 years. As we all know, he went to the Raiders as a free agent. Who knows where he's going to wind up next year? You keep saying Washington football team, and honestly, that would not surprise me at all as a landing spot for Marcus. Ryan Tannehill was also on the list. He was a first-round pick by Miami in 2012. But the whole quarterback thing, everybody's chasing it all of the time, and it's so hard to get right. And for as much, Blaine, as we look at, you know, the Titans, the draft choices struggled last year. The free agents didn't pan out. A lot of them, Clowney didn't pan out. Vic Beasley didn't pan out. But they nailed it on the quarterback, and they got him for essentially nothing, Ryan Tannehill. Comeback player of the year. He gets an extension. He was somebody else's first-round draft pick. The quarterback market and how it works is fascinating to me.
What they give him? A fourth rounder? What did they give up? John Robinson? A conditional pick. But that was a steal. John Robinson. You don't see that very often. It does happen on occasion every so often. And that day he hit a home run. No question. I mean, I still get people laughing at me when I used to say he's done a heck of a job. People from Miami, they can't believe it. I said, no, I think y'all need to look at Adam Gates. That was a problem.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't changed one bit since he got here, even when he was the backup.
No. Nope.
He hasn't changed. Maybe he learned some things of what he was going to do and not going to do as a player. But as far as who he was when he got to the Titans, there was nothing different. As far as his role, once he became the starter, he became a little more vocal.
Right.
But that was it, man. You saw the tools. So, yeah, you're going to hit, you're going to miss. I think the league is built around a quarterback. Teams are. And so you take unnecessary risks sometimes. You don't want to believe your eyes when you're watching them on tape. Then you say, but what if we're wrong? And then somebody else drafts them, and then you feel like, we made a boo-boo. I'm no longer the GM.
I mean, like all the people that passed on Mahomes, you know. A bunch of teams passed on him for him to get to Kansas City.
And Watson, by the way.
Absolutely.
He should have been the number one pick. I don't know. Who was the number one pick that year? It was a quarterback, too. Trubisky. Was it Trubisky? No.
I don't think he was number one, but he went first, right?
He went ahead of Watson. It was two quarterbacks, right?
I remember.
I was like, dang, this is weird.
Is
Watson hurt or something? I was like, man, this guy can absolutely play. And then you saw Dabo Sweeney. He hadn't said this about Trevor Lawrence yet, but he said Watson was the Michael Jordan. I thought he was going a little too far of college football. He said, this dude is phenomenal.
This is what the trade was for Ryan Tannehill. The Dolphins traded Tannehill and a 6th-round pick to the Titans for a 4th-round pick and a 7th-round pick.
Yeah,
That was it. That's the whole thing right there for Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, well, they were looking at where we're going to cut him because he's attached to Adam Gase and we're going to move on. So we got to get something out of him. And they got, 4th and man. Yeah, John Robinson, man, that one there is at the top of the list as far as things he's done as a GM. That is number one, because that is the hardest to do, is to find your franchise quarterback.
Right.
He's only here for 3-4 years. That 3-4 years, you're going to see the Titans going to still continually be in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, applaud him for that. But he gets a step on boo-boo. For the panda, unless you're getting some, what'd she say they feed them? Bamboo.
Bamboo. Yeah.
Gotta get him some bamboo. Oh, panda needs some bamboo. He just needs to gnaw on it all day so he can feel lonely in the cave and come out the cave a new panda. New and revived panda.
Yeah, that's got to get figured out sooner than later. It'd be interesting.
I'd love to know the inside scoop on it, though, Mickey.
I would, too.
To know if it's just him being immature, or is this something really deeper than that? Because if it's just immaturity, oh, my gosh. Oh, my. That's like somebody 21 or won the lottery, and they just going bonkers.
Yeah, well, he's been going bonkers. John Robinson told Buck Rising earlier today there's been no more contact. What else did he say to Buck Rising about free agents? We'll tell you that as we start the second hour of the Blaine and Mickey program. Also, Dane Bradshaw in the next hour to talk SEC hoops. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5.